I would take as my text those verses that we read, first of all, the verses found in Exodus chapter 2, where we're introduced to a man and a woman whose courage and actions God would have us note and would have us emulate, copy. It was action regarding the raising of their child. There's much advice given today regarding raising of children. I think I'm right in saying that 99.9% of it is rubbish. More than rubbish, it's poison. It's directing parents in absolutely the wrong direction. If we would know the best way to raise children, then we turn to the book, the Word of God. I want to speak today on the subject Christian education, the key to the survival of the gospel witness here in Ulster. I have made no secret of the fact that I believe that if we neglect Christian education, we sound a death knell on the gospel. Across the world, in the gardening world, there are those busily engaged in propagating next year's growth. And if they didn't do that, there would be no growth next year. Those interested in gardening, they go along to their gardening shop, their gardening center, and they purchase the little pot with the green sprout. But that is the result of the labors of others. So many of what we grow by way of flowers and plants in the gardens are perennial. No, I want to use the word annual. That is, they grow, they flourish, they die. And you've got to plant a new one if you're going to have flowers. If you want a plant that comes up, that's when you look for the perennial. I'll be scolded by the many learned ones in the congregation that are teachers for getting my terms mixed up, no doubt. But I'll suffer that, as I have often done. I've learned to do that. But the lesson is simple. It's the same with the Church of Christ. If there is not a propagating of the next generation, then there will be no gospel witness. And I wish ministers in particular would grasp that simple truth. Now, in saying this to them, I'm not saying anything new. In fact, I'm not saying anything they don't know. I'm just underscoring something that they care to neglect. I have had an opportunity given to me by the minister, Mr. Fitton, to speak today, also at our prayer meeting just past, on Wednesday, and again next week in the will of the Lord. And I felt laid upon my heart that I want to deal with subjects that have been important to me, vital to me, throughout the years of preaching, many of which were here in Kilskerry. That's why I'm speaking today on Christian education. This little place, this little ark of bulrushes, has been under God a place where the work of Christian education had its birth in recent times. And I cannot but think, as I stand here, of the labours of my late wife, Anne. But no one knows better how she labored, how much she labored. And as I speak on this subject, I want to stress, first of all, that Christian education is no new thing. Now, in 1978, when the subject first was raised in our presbytery, it was a new thing for many. So new, it was believed it just couldn't be undertaken. It couldn't be done. Couldn't be a success. But God has made it to be a success here in Kilskerry since September 1979, when the doors of our little school first opened. But that was not a new thing. That was, in truth, the recovering of something that had always been a requirement of God. It has ever been the will of God that children be taught about Him to the exclusion of every falsehood and crazy notion of man. Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, as some fathers are inclined foolishly to do, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And that is but the repeating of something that was instituted of God amongst His people long ago. Deuteronomy, the chapter 6, says wonderfully, plainly, exquisitely, the duties of parents. If you look at chapter 6, I'm not going to read all the verses that are here, but it says this, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel." So often God has to get the hearing of His people. Catch the ear. Because they're listening to anything and everything other than Him. "Hear, O Israel." The Savior, He used to use a phrase, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Well, this is the Hebrew form of that same expression. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And here's what it means to love Him. "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." I've often stopped there and underscored the meaning of the Hebrew phrase, "teach them diligently." It means sharpen them like a sword, like a scythe. Now, boys and girls, I don't like to disturb you, but if you know anything about the sharpening of a scythe, it's a very rough stone they use. It's got sharp edges. But that's the only way to put an edge on a scythe or on a sword. And you might think school has a few rough edges that rubs you the wrong way, but it's all to put an edge on you. You'll learn that one day. You'll learn that one day. If you haven't already learned it, I'm sure that given the spirit there is in our school, that's not a lesson that's far away from you. But we're to teach them diligently unto our children. How? "By talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." It's a 24-hour job, 7 days a week. in every activity there's to be a teaching of the children. So it's not a new thing. But rather, the Christian education work that began in 1979 within the confines of the Free Presbyterian Church was an old truth rediscovered. That's all it was. Many times in the pilgrimage of God's people, an old truth has been rediscovered, to the grief of the people when they realize this has always been God's will, but we have ignored it. But now, discovering it afresh, we're going to keep it by His grace. And the old truth is given an emphasis that it hasn't had and should have had up to then. Now, to many, it appeared a new truth. When Martin Luther began to preach justification by faith, there were people, where did you get this new thing? He was hounded and persecuted because there were those heathen men who said he's teaching lies. This hasn't been what we have believed up to now. This is a new thing. They were wrong. He had merely rediscovered the grand and glorious truth of God, that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. You have an example of this very thing in 2 Kings chapter 22, the verse 8, where the house of God, having been neglected for quite some time because of apostasy within Judah, and the godly king coming to the throne, he sent his servants in to clean up the house of God that had been neglected, and they found the book of the law. And it was brought to the king, and the king read it, and we read in that verse 8 of 2 Kings 22, when the king had heard the words, this is verse 11 of that chapter, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Such a reaction is the result of him discovering that they had neglected the book of the law. And he was reading that which he had never heard before. And it was coming to him like a new thing, but it wasn't a new thing. It was the old book of the law. It brought in Reformation under the king, as he began to put the rules God set down in his commandments into force. Oh, men and women, our forefathers discovered many things at the time of the Reformation. But John Knox, who has a particular bearing not only on Scotland, but here on Ulster, because many of our forefathers came from Scotland, oftentimes driven out by persecution, and that which was a curse became a blessing for us, for they brought with us, to us, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, John Knox was the first reformer, the champion of the cause of God in Scotland, and he determined that as they changed things in Scotland and brought them into line with the Word of God, he was going to put a school in every church. Do you hear me? And I address that question not just to you here, I address it to every minister who might hear what I have to say. He determined to put a school in every parish. But he wasn't able to. In the first meeting of the General Assembly of the Scottish Church in 1560, a discussion was held as to how they could fund the matters that John Knox were proposing in his first book of discipline, a setting out of the structures of a Reformed church. Now, they had confiscated many of the institutions of the Roman Catholic Church. Rome would say that was a terrible thing to do. But let me just, and I thought of this myself as I pondered these things, let me just say and remind you all that when John Knox and the Reformers took the money that had been accumulated in the monasteries and all the rest of it, he was taking back the money of the people who had now turned to the Bible and rejected popery. For the riches of Rome are but the accumulated contributions of their people. It wasn't manufactured by the Pope, or earned or worked for by the Pope or any of his priests. It was the contributions of the people. So it was but the people's money that they were recovering for themselves. And in that first General Assembly, they were discussing how they would fund the proposals of John Knox. But in that General Assembly, there were men, noblemen, who held great estates, big positions, and they were greedy. They saw the riches that were coming to the Church of Scotland from the accumulated riches of popery as something they'd like to get their hands on. And so they influenced that General Assembly to the degree that a lot of that money went into the hands of these lords for their use. And history tells us that the cause of God, proposed by that good man, John Knox, was not funded as it should be. And ministers were badly underpaid, and no schools to any number or any degree was ever formed. That spirit is at work today. Why is it Christian parents won't send their children to Christian schools? Money. Why is it Christians who teach in the state's system won't come over and serve God in the Christian school? Money. Why is it ministers hesitate, back off from pioneering a school in their congregation? Money. Two of our schools closed recently. I'll let you guess the reason. Men and women. Self-interest has ever been the opponent of the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Reformers were very conscious that whatever else sprung forth from the Reformation that they were seeking to further, there must be benefits for the children by way of schools established where the Word of God was the textbook, dominating, ruling every subject and every topic that was taught. Here in Ulster in the 1800s, there was a system, a government system of education, but which under the influence of godly people gave an emphasis to the Bible. It would not I feel qualify for the title of a Christian school system, but I came pretty close to it. I'll say that much. And then the government proposed that they were going to reform it. And in essence, in order to gain the support of Roman Catholicism, they were going to put the Bible out of the classroom. And any religious instruction would take place outside of the usual curriculum. That great Presbyterian, Dr. Henry Cook, those of you who know anything about him, know of him, that there is a statue in Belfast near to the General Assembly buildings of the Presbyterian Church. A statue of Dr. Henry Cook is called the Black Man. It's a black statue. But it's an indication of how he was honoured for the labours and toils and witness that he maintained throughout his life. But there's also a fact that hardly anybody knows what the Black Man statue is about. And it's an evidence of how what he stood for is forgotten. But Henry Cook campaigned against the reforms, and in the 1830s, he believed that any system of education which rejected the Holy Scriptures could not be tolerated by believers. Now, Cook's view is not to be found amongst those who claim to be the followers of Cook today. Free Presbyterians, when I was a student, we studied the life story of Henry Cook, told that his stand was an example we should seek to follow. I'm not sure if that's still the case, if it's his biography is still on the curriculum of our college. It ought to be if it isn't. But if it is, the teaching of it hasn't had much of an impact upon our ministers. Because what he says cannot be tolerated is tolerated within the Free Presbyterian Church. That is, a system of education that excludes the Bible. Listen. The state school today not merely excludes the Bible. I could almost say that would be a small issue. It's small in comparison to what is the case. They have replaced the Bible by the lies of the devil, the teaching of the devil, the expounding of the most vile notions, philosophies, views that could be imagined. I would say most adults here, were they able to access the textbook and the curriculum and the statements and that which is proposed to be taught, if not already being taught, to school children, would shame you. Years and years ago, I used to say, when seeking to promote Christian education, that if parents would only look in their children's school bag, they would be embarrassed as well as their children at what it was being taught. And today, Christian parents tolerate not just the removal of the Bible, but they tolerate the wickedest notions of men, inspired by the devil, being taught to their children. And ministers of those Christians, in truth, in many instances, encourage the parents to tolerate that which is intolerable. We sang that lovely hymn, and I mentioned when I introduced it how that in Mark's account of the incident when the disciples tried to hinder the mothers bringing the children to Christ, the Lord was angry. And I have to say today, as a minister of the Free Presbyterian Church, there are matters within our church, our denomination, that angers God. That wasn't the way it was in times past. I can remember when the presence of God filled our meetings, and we rejoiced at his presence and could hardly contain our sense of happiness. I sat under Ian Paisley in the 60s when he preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. What meetings they were. God wasn't in any way disgruntled, displeased, or angered with the Free Church in those days. But that's not the case today, men and women, because there are ministers who hinder children being taught the Bible. Instead, they're encouraging them being taught the vilest, vilest, vilest perversions imaginable. An endorsement of abortion. An endorsement of transgenderism, the most stupid notion that ever could be. An endorsement of sodomy. Children are taught that they must accept these things. This is very proper. When all the time God calls them abominations, the followers of which will most certainly go to hell. And he demonstrated that by pouring out his wrath in a fashion never seen before or since upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire of hell fell visibly on those places, and that will be the final conclusion of those who embrace this lifestyle that is presently being taught to children in the state system as acceptable and must be understood. I'm saying strong things here. It's a long time ago that I began to read the book of Jeremiah. And as I read the book of Jeremiah, there were things that Jeremiah said that I could never say. But I'm getting to the place where I have to say them. He was denouncing the people for an utter abandoning of God's truth. And men and women, that's what's happening today. On the issue of children being taught the errors of hell, and that is being tolerated by ministers, that can only bring down God's judgment, as it did in the days of Jeremiah. Listen to me, I'll say this, and I'll emphasize it, and I'll happily respond to any minister who wishes to challenge me. And I'll grow tired waiting for such a challenge. I have written millions of words. I've never been challenged once. It's not because I'm a brilliant writer or anything else. But basically I've been setting forth the truth and there's been no one ready to contradict it because they know they'll get the sledgehammer of God's truth right on the top of their head if they do challenge what is being said. And I want to say this. A Christian church which does not provide Christian education, give the opportunity to parents to remove their children from the state system, provide Christian education is not truly a Christian church. It's not truly a Christian church. It's a church under the title of Christian, but which includes teaching that is pagan and satanic. Now, don't be too surprised at that. What did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Even among the apostles, the devil had a voice on that occasion. Not to mention Judas, but on that occasion it was Peter who was reciting the words of the devil and speaking like the devil. And the Savior rebuked him accordingly and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, I'm telling you today, the teachings of Satan are to be found within the ranks of the Free Presbyterian Church. Because there are those who not only fail to encourage Christian education, but who are positively against it. When the Savior came to the end of his ministry and was about to leave to go to his Father in heaven, he took Peter aside and they asked him three times, lovest thou me? And Peter, of course, remembering his threefold denial of the Lord, was vexed at such a memory and protested, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And the first time the Savior asked that question, he replied by saying, feed my lambs. That's an evidence of loving the Lord Jesus. He went on the other two occasions when he asked the same question, within seconds, to say, feed my sheep. But he said, feed my lambs, first and foremost. Because they're important. They're the future. And there will be no gospel witness in Ulster if the lambs are not fed. That's a simple truth. I read with you from Hebrews chapter 11 what it says there about Moses' parents and Moses. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They weren't going to give their child up. How tragic it is that parents thus today, Christian parents today, are ready to sacrifice their children. We have all been shocked by recent events in Maguire's Bridge when a mother and 2 children were gunned to death. We're not sure of the exact details of how that happened, but the father has also been shot and is near to death. And it has been circulated that his injuries came from his own hands. There's no police case has yet been settled. So I'm merely setting out what is commonly understood to have happened, but may not be the case. But it would appear that the father shot his family and then himself. That's a shocking thing. But listen, it's no more shocking than a Christian father and mother sending their children in under the instructions of the devil. That's sacrificing their children to hell. That's what will come of that. That's what will come of that. Being deprived of the gospel, being taught that all the errors and evils of today are the right thing to be observed and followed, that only can lead to hell. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's what's happening in Ulster. And what shocked people in Maguire's Bridge. If they only were able to see it and understand it and recognize it, something even worse is taking place all over the country and within the Free Presbyterian Church. What's happening today is the equivalent of what happened in the days of Israel's apostasy. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 34 to 35. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name, to defile it, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. That's what they did back then. They sacrificed their children to an idol by burning them. Today, children are sacrificed to the evil teaching of the world and the devil by Free Presbyterian parents, most of whom haven't the issue brought before them as they should have by their ministers. You say that's strong stuff. That may be so, but it's the truth. It's the truth. What happened back then in the days of Jeremiah resulted in the abandonment of Judah, so that such actions today will bring like judgment upon Ulster. And we see it already. We see it already. I grew up in an Ulster where the gospel was respected. I didn't know the gospel personally. I hadn't faith in the Lord Jesus personally. But I observed the Sabbath. To a degree. We moved to Belfast in, I think it was 1953 or 1954. Belfast was quiet. There was an occasional trolley bus and that was it. Now I can hardly get to sleep at night with tractors running up and down the road Sabbath day as well as any other evening time. Oh, it's a changed land. It's a changed land. And God has withdrawn from Ulster. We're under the rule of Sinn Féin IRA. I'm tempted to go into that issue, but I'll not. I think I've said enough in my writings about it. But we're under the dominion of Sinn Féin IRA. That's what ecumenism has brought us to. That's what compromise and unionist circles have brought us to. The tolerating of wickedness. That's what it's brought us to. And it's a sign, if we but knew it, of God's withdrawal. He handed Israel over to their enemies. They controlled. They took over. Read Judges chapter 6. To the utter ruin that was brought to the nation by the invaders, sent of God as a judgment. And that's what's happening today. We're impoverished. We're impoverished chiefly through the pilfering, stealing, lying of a great majority of our citizens who claim benefits to which they have no right. the land's being impoverished. It's part of the judgment that has come upon us. Ought we not to have learned from the record that the Bible gives us of past attacks upon God's people by way of judgment? Pharaoh said to Moses, after a number of plagues, all right, he says, go out and into the desert and have your season with God, but leave the children behind. Don't take them. Isn't that what's happening today? Have a good time. Enjoy the prosperity. Don't bother about the children and what they're being taught. Because if you bother about that, that's going to cost you money. You'll have to pay fees to the Christian school. No mention is taken of the fact that Christian teachers take about a third of what they could earn in the state system. That's what really keeps the school going, not the fees parents pay, but the sacrifice of teachers and the gifts of supporters. That's what keeps the Christian school going. The fees charged would hardly pay for the electricity. That's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. But God said through Moses, no, we're taking the children as well. We're not leaving them behind. I have a couple of more points which I'll quickly deal with. First of all, great courage is needed to obey God's law in these days. That's what we read in Hebrews 11. They were not afraid of the king's commandment, verse 23. Verse 26, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Courage is needed. You're breaking ranks. You're going to be the subject of angry rebuke, because your action is shaming those who don't take that action. That's what creates the animosity. When someone obeys God, those who don't obey God are mad with them because they're showing up their sin. And that's what generates animosity against Christians who seek to obey God in these days. I'm the subject, you say that's really understandable, I'm the subject of animosity. Do you know why? Simply for standing up for the truths that we all rejoiced in the 60s and 70s. I used to cheer Dr. Paisley to the echo for saying the things that I try to say today. But it's not a cheer I get. But it's doors slammed in my face about the only place I can come to preach is Kilskerry. There's very few places other than that would let me through the doors. Courage. I leave you to expand on that yourself by thinking of what it is we read about the parents of Moses and Moses himself, how they feared not. They feared not. Don't care what you say. Don't care what you threaten. We're going to do what's right. The last thing I want to say is this. In the days of Moses' childhood, there were many who obeyed Pharaoh and yielded up their children to death. I can always tell you the date when I came on that little verse in Acts chapter 7. It's a verse that commentators do their best to try and adjust so that it doesn't say what it says. Because what it says is shaming to those to whom it refers. Acts chapter 7, the verses 18 and 19. This is Stephen's great sermon. Wonderful man. And he says this. Well, verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose which knew not Joseph. And even as I read this, it occurs to me, here we are again with that same pattern. When the time of the promise drew nigh, an evil king arose. That's the day in which we live, men and women. It's the time of the promise of Christ's return that's drawing nigh. And there is to be, on the verge of that return, the rising of the Antichrist and the spreading of anti-Christianity. And that's what we're seeing today. The ecumenical movement and its casting out of the churches that it dominates, the Bible and the truths of God. Parliaments across the world embracing the most wicked of views and building them into their legislation and making lawful what before was unlawful. And making unlawful what before was lawful, namely protesting against wickedness. That's illegal today. I saw where a man in Scotland, or maybe the north of England, a miner who got converted and spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel as best he could in the open air. And he had a little book stand, and a lady with a whole Muslim outfit come over and was showing interest in the things, and he asked her a question. Turned up in the Muslim Bible what it says about women and how they should be treated within marriage, which was an endorsement of wife beating and everything else. And he showed it to her and he said, "What do you think of that? Because here's what the Bible teaches." And he showed then Paul's writing regarding wives, how they were to be loved by their husbands and treated as the weaker vessel. The woman didn't say anything to him, but she walked away and she found a policeman and said, oh, she had been abused and all the rest of it, and the police came and arrested the man. But when the matter came before those involved in pursuing prosecutions, they said, there's no case here, and they threw it out. But of course the policeman, and I think there was a policewoman, they didn't come and apologise to the man. For the members of the police forces today are but puppets and blind reprobates who know nothing of the truth of God or the laws of God. And they're only too happy to enforce the wickedness that has become the law of the land. So when the time of the promise drew nigh, another king arose which knew not Joseph. That is, he knew not Joseph's God or the witness and life of Joseph. The same, listen to this, verse 19, the same dealt subtly, craftily with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, listen, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. What the mother and father of Moses did was not done by many other parents. They handed their male children over to Pharaoh and they were killed. Why was Pharaoh killing the male children? Because he was going to wipe out Israel by so doing. That's why. If you destroy all the seed of a tree, you'll never see another tree of the kind. That's what's happening today, men and women. The devil is poisoning the seed that under God's mercy could bring forth the church in the future. There's going to be no gospel witness in Ulster. If what is happening today and is sanctioned today, and I say it again with a sad heart, is sanctioned today by our church in its folly. In its folly. There's going to be a cutting off of the offspring. Was it not said here last Lord's Day by the visiting minister who has been round quite a few churches? And he said, it's so nice to see young people in the meeting. Many of the churches I go to, there are no young people. Why is that? Because we have a Christian school and those churches don't. The lesson is there. It is to be observed and seen. But it's not too late. I do believe it's not too late for Christian parents to act. It's not too late. And I hope this word gets out and is circulated. I always send out my recordings, most of you know this, and I send notes along with them, and I hope that those who get them will share them. They'll not make many friends, maybe, by doing that, but nevertheless, I hope to share them. For it's not too late. And may God have mercy on the Free Presbyterian Church. And grant revival. And restoration and the building up again in these last days. We're going to close in prayer. Please let us all bow together. O God, our Heavenly Father, I can but ask that thou wilt bless that which has been born of thy Spirit and cast to the dust and to the ground that which is not. O God, have mercy on the Free Church. Awaken its people, awaken its ministers, awaken its elders and its committee men to what is happening. Now, Lord, as we leave thy house, give journeying mercies. Grant thy grace and grant thy blessing upon us all. And may we keep holy the Sabbath day for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.